Tosef last week on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is quoting a few Toseftas. Toseftas and Beitzah about details in Hilchos Yontif. It's like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch until you get to the Mishnah. It just rattles off different details. Jeff Kunin mentioned that his grandmother just passed away a few days ago, so he asked that we dedicate the learning in her memory. And L'zecha Nishma says to Reza Basar Abba Bavrom. We left off the Gemara Tana Rabbana right in the middle of Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. Gemara quotes a Tosef Tana V'Chikirayim Chadoshim. What if you have a brand new oven? Is that a problem? Was it a shayla on Yontif, not on Shabbos? On Yontif, an oven is a klishim malach to the heter. So it was never used before. Never used before. Tavosis, a psalach, you have to. If you complete it, yeah. If you complete it, but let's say it was delivered from the factory, from the store,
yeah,
and they installed
only
it.
If you use that, then it's become.
See, the Brisa says that there's no problem. Tana v'kirayim chadosh, if you bring harenge cholakem, mani talim b'chutz. It's a regular kli shemlach talahetar on Yontif, and it's no problem, even though it was never used before. We're talking about a kli where the first baking, the first use is not completing. It already is complete. The whole kli is already complete.
You can unpack it. That's why it comes in packs.
Also, Mustafa, you're permitted to unpack it also. Why not?
I think not long ago, a year ago, we learned the same issue. There's a hole in there that you cannot penetrate. The same thing, it's not ready. It was not the tanur before. The tanur is
because it was packed,
you know, the tanur, the nola for the first time. There's a hole, as we learned. There's a hole in the tanur that you have to penetrate.
You have to complete something.
There were all questions, can you do this hole or not?
Yeah, but he was talking, okay, so everything is all hooked up. Everything is all hooked up, ready to use it. Or you have it in a container, you just have to remove the cardboard covering and it's all ready for use. To plug it into the wall or to switch to push on the button, so that's considered, plug it into the wall is a makaba patish, a shayla, it's not broken, you're not completing it. So some hold that it's makaba patish mederabbanan, the chazanish hold that that's makaba patish deraisa. Let's say I plug in a refrigerator. An old refrigerator, I've been using it for 20 years. So it's not plugged in. When I plug it in, then it starts to function.
But it's not a stove. It only has the potential to be a stove if it's not plugged in and if it's not ready to burn. It's not a stove. Yes. It has the potential to be a stove. Maybe the plug is broken, then it wouldn't be a stove, so it would be mukta totally.
No, I don't think so. You plug in the stove, into the wall, so that's the same as plugging in an old stove.
You blow up the world with atomic bomb, but it's output.
No. The same, plugging in a stove, same as plugging in a fan, plugging in a refrigerator. So that's a machlokes. I'm most told that that's makaba patish midirabbanan. The Chazon Ish holds that it's makaba patish deraisa. Whenever you complete a service, most assume that it's midirabbanan. See, the Gemara is talking. He has a brand new oven, and there's no reason to say that it's a muktzah or anything. So it says it has. So it has the brand new kli has the status of a kli shemalach talahetar. Avol, however, you're not permitted to complete it. That's what it says. Let's say you didn't finish manufacturing the oven yet. Avol, however, ain't sochem osim shemen. You're not allowed to shmir on oil because it's not yet finished. Ain't toshem osim imatlus. You're not allowed to shmir on with a shmata or something. And fig mosa bitzonik kedei lachasman, whatever, to pour on cold water in order to strengthen when you do the first baking. So it's gonna be burning hot. Then you're gonna pour on ice cold water later on. So that's makaba patish. That's a real makaba patish deraisa. Vim shvel lefas areza muta. If he's pouring on the water because he wants to bake something, he's not interested in really completing the oven. The oven is already completed. That's the process of baking. That's part of afiyah. So that's not makaba patish. Okay. Tana banan. Acha braisa. You have, let's say, chicken. So So bismana tanoim until 100 years ago, until 50 years ago, they used to shech chickens on Yontif. You're allowed to shech on Yontif. Bismana is there, we have refrigeration, so you're not allowed to shech on Yontif. Because by us, that's not normal. We don't shech the same day. On the weekdays, we don't shech the same day. We're interested in eating the flesh. But bismana tanoim, they would shech on Yontif, let's say. So the shech on Yontif, but the chicken has a lot of hair on it. So what are you going to do with the hair? So it says you're permitted to singe the hair, or to rip off the hair. Molgim. Maliga means to flick the chickens. Mogam sarosh vesaraglaim, to rip off the hair from the animal is mutter. On Yontif, on Shabbos, it would be malocha. It's gozeis. It says in Tosefta Masecha Shabbos that gozeis, a person takes a haircut, is gozeis. or if he shears off the wool. The original gozis is to shear off wool from a sheep in order to take wool. If you cut off hair from a person, you cut off fingernails, it's also gozis. Tosis claims that it's, in order to be on melacha derais, it has to be melacha tzvicha legufam. Melacha tzvicha legufam means, according to Tosis' opinion, you shear off wool which you plan to use. But if, let's say, a person takes a haircut, then he throws the hair in the garbage. He cuts off the fingernails and he throws them in the garbage. The Tosis claims that that's called the melacha she'ein tzvicha legufam. He's not going to use the final result, the final product. And that's the way it's assumed in Shulchan Aruch. The Torah says, "Malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa." Others, there's a different opinion. The Rishosh and other Rishonim say, if he's interested in either one or the other, he's interested in either using the wool, he wants to use the wool that he gets out, or he wants to have, he wants his fingers to look good. He wants his hair to look good. He wants his head to look good. So either one or the other is considered a malacha tzvicha l'gufa. That's a differing opinion. But in Shulchan Aruch, that's not the accepted opinion. The accepted opinion is that if you don't plan to use the fingernails, you don't plan to use the hair, you're going to throw it out. Like normally, that's only a malacha derabbanan because it's a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. It's not a malacha deraisa. How do I know that we pass like that? Because in Shulchan Aruch they discussed the case. A woman has to go to mikvah Shabbos Yontif. She forgot to cut her nails. So the meaning is that the women cut their nails. Ikra din is probably not a chatzitza. But there is such an opinion in Rishonim. That if the woman has intention of cutting her nails, even though it's part of her body, what kind of a chatzitza? Let that person has six fingers. You're going to say the six fingers are chatzitza because it doesn't belong. What are you going to say? It's part of her body. The person has long nails. So you plan to cut off the nails. I plan to cut off the six finger also. I don't want it. So the six finger, even if you plan, you're going to have a surgery done on tomorrow morning. So the person goes to mikveh tonight. You don't say the extra finger is a chatzitza. That's part of the body. So the reason why is because the finger, you need a surgeon. You need a mubche to cut it off. But the nail, since it's easy to cut off the nails, it more makes such a distinction in Zvachim, I think. But since a layman can cut off the nails, you don't have to have such expertise to remove the nails. So if there's a svar in the Gemara, and that's how the Ravid holds, that's called the chatzit. So even if Mikra is not so, that's our minik. We insist that a woman has to cut off the nails. Unless she wants to have long nails. Unless the woman does not plan to cut off nails. She wants to have long nails. So then mikra din is not a chatzitza, and that's only a minik. So the maisa, the women cut off the nails. So what if a woman has to go to mikvah on Leil Shabbos or Leil Yontif? She forgot to cut the nails before Shabbos. So what does she do? So you're not allowed to cut it on Shabbos and Yontif. So there are more pasuk in the Shulchan Aruch. If you ask a nachri to cut the nails, does say tashluz the shuz b'makom mitzvah. Mira la nachri is already the rabbanon. And even if she'll cut off the nails herself, the maximum the malacha will be is only a malacha the rabban, because she's going to throw the nails out in the garbage. She's not going to use it. Behold, it's a malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa. So true, there are those rishonim who disagree with this psak. They hold that either if you're interested in using the wool that you cut off, or you want to look good. You want to throw the hair out, then you want to look good. You want your fingers to look good. Either way is a malacha tzvicha l'gufa. But that's not the accepted opinion. The psak in Shulchan Aruch is that cutting off the nails is only a malacha de rabbanon. So if you cut off, so the shaila is, let's say you have a person wearing a leather jacket, and then he starts ripping off hair from the jacket. So the Tosefta says, one ha gozes min hashelach. One of those gozes, the malacha goes to remove the hair. Even min hashelach, shelach means a hide from an animal that's gestorben or geshachten already. That also constitutes a malacha de raisa. That can also be, if you're going to use the hair, or if you want to beautify the shelach, whatever, that can be a malacha deraisa. Not only is it a malacha of gozes while the animal is alive, and you detach it even after the animal is dead, and the hide is removed from the animal. A person's wearing a leather jacket and starts ripping off the hair, that's a malacha deraisa of gozes. So on Yontif, you're permitted to do gozes. A person has a chicken, he shecht the chicken, then he has a lot of hair, so he's going to rip off all the hair. He doesn't want to cook the chicken with the hair. So it's also mutar l'tzarech achol nefesh. You're permitted to do, just like bishul is mutar on yontif, and shchit is mutar on yontif, and havar is mutar on yontif, and haikso is mutar on yontif. All l'tzarech achol nefesh. So the maliga, which is a violation, removing the hair, which is clearly a violation, the araisa of gozei.
It's not possible to eat if you don't take it.
You can eat it. You can eat it. It'll be
How does the
you're allowed to peel a banana even on Shabbos. That you're permitted to do even on Shabbos.
I'm saying here also.
Here we're talking about a raw. Here we're probably talking about a raw chicken, not a cooked chicken. You're talking a cooked chicken, I want to rip off the head.
No, the molgin is done after the
shechita, before you cook it.
The raw chicken. Okay, so.
Yeah. The eating mother, the Tosafot is talking about raw chicken. You shech the chicken on Yontif, and then you rip off the hairs. So it's not going to be derech achila here. So it says you're permitted to remove the hairs on Yontif. It's permitted. Tzarech al nefesh or mehavivim or some b'ur. Or if you want, you can singe the hair. It's a malach of havar. You cause it to get burnt up. The havar is mutter to tzarech al nefesh. You burn the logs. The havar is mutter to tzarech al nefesh. In order to cook, so you're permitted to burn off the hairs also. Avol, however, in Tefum Osam, the Charis is v'loy b'adama v'loy b'sid. To make a whole major production, like sometimes a woman has hair on her face that she wants to remove, so the Mishnais and Moikotin described that they used to put on mud packs and leave it on the face for a couple of hours and then remove it. And apparently it had sharp chemicals in it, and that would remove all of the hair. So there's a method to remove the hair from the chicken. After you shech the chicken, there's a method to remove the hair by also putting on such packs, such mud packs. And that you're not allowed to do on Yontif. That's too much of a job. What does Rashi write? Tabi derech l'avdonim, huh? Mogim is beroischem, yeah. But that's how they do it in all the slaughterhouses. They're not supposed to. Where they shech the chickens. So if you pour on burning hot water, it makes it easier to rip off the hairs and the feathers. But if you pour on burning hot water before you salted it, so then you're cooking it with the dam. So then the malicha is not going to, when you salt it later on, it's no good. So you're supposed to rinse it off with cold water. Cold water doesn't really soften the skin. The thing that does the trick is burning hot water. So what they usually used to do was that all week long they used to pour on burning hot water. When the Rabbi Machshe came, it would be cold water. It would be lukewarm water, less than Yatzah Le'edisbo. And the minute the Rabbi Machshe would leave, so they would pour on the burning hot water. So maliga means to rip off the feathers or rip off the hairs, and the way to do the trick is by pouring on burning hot water and then to make it very soft, and then you'll be able to rip it off. So that you're allowed to do, but to do a major production, Rashi says, kederech l'avdonim, like the professionals do, to put on a whole mud pack on the chicken, that's too much, that's not right. The stomach do to the chol. The hilchos malacha, it's the same malacha as maliga. Well, what's the difference? Tirchi yisera. Uv to the chol is not proper.
The normal person,
you
chef the chicken,
you
have to flick the chicken.
Okay. Correct. So there are different ways to flick. So if you flick the chicken by pouring out burning hot water and ripping off, right? So we're pouring on warm water, not burning hot, unless you salted it first. If you salted it first, then you removed all. Let's say there are no feathers. We ripped off the feathers and we're flicking it. Yeah, on Yontif you're allowed to do it on Tzarech HaChol Nefesh, even though it's a malach of gozeis. But it's mutter the tzarech achal nefesh, yeah. But to do a whole luv de dechol kederech avdonim, so that the Tosefta says that's not permissible. Ben gozes emosam b'misparayim. What does it say right there? You shouldn't use big scissors. What kind of scissors is this? Mechzik tzarech l'seif. Oh, let's say I'm going to take. I have a scissors that I usually use to trim my beard or something like that, to cut a mustache. So I'm going to take, or to cut papers. So I'm going to take that scissors and start cutting off the hair from the chicken. So the Tosefta says you're not allowed to do it. Why are you not permitted to do it? Well, it makes it more of a malach of using scissors. It's the same malach of gozes. Why is it also? So Rashi says it's episode of the chol or something. Looks as if he's going to use the hair for some purpose or another. So it's too much. He shouldn't do that. Then goes in Sayarek with Tispara Shalom. They used to have special big scissors that people who have a. Farm of people who have a what do you call it, where you plant little vegetables. What? Yes, yeah, so they had a shears in order to cut off the vegetables from the ground. Yeah. So you're not allowed to cut off in the ground. That's the question. Why not? That's what Tosfos discussed on Daf Gimel, the very beginning. You're not permitted to eat, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. You're not permitted to eat peres on Oshrim. Fruits and fruits that fell off in the tree by themselves, you're not permitted to eat neither on Shabbos nor Yom Tov. Gzeres Shema Yala the Itlosh. A gzeret, maybe he'll rip it off. So that's what Tosfos says. And what's wrong if Yalla the Yitlush on Yont, there's no Chorach al Nefesh? So whatever the reason is, that's the halacha, that you're not permitted to detach from the ground, even though you have no fruit. He wants fruits and vegetables, and all the fruits and vegetables are attached to the ground. So kotzer is not permissible. However you explain it, kotzer is not allowed on Yontif. So what is he going to use? He's not going to do kotzer. He already did the ksira on Erev Yontif, but he's going to use this big shears that he normally uses for detaching from the ground. So that's a klisha malachta liyisa. That's a klisha malachta liyisa on Yontif, because it's normally used for detaching from the ground. He's going to use it that to cut up the vegetables for his table. He has cucumbers or whatever vegetables he has. He wants to slice it in little pieces. Instead of using a knife from the kitchen, he's going to use this big scissors that he normally uses to detach from the ground. So that the din should be that it should be mutter, a klisha malachta liyisa. Let's say a hammer is normally used to bang nails, which is a malacha bone, and he's going to use the hammer to open up a bottle, a jar, or something. So klisha malachta liyisa, you're permitted to handle a tzarech gufay. If I want to use it for some hetadik purpose, so why is it forbidden over here to use the special shears? Oh, so Rashi says Marisayan, that people will think, look, he's using the big shears. He must have cut it off on Yontif. If he cut it off on Erev Yontif, what's he still using the shears for? Why didn't he use a knife to cut it? So that's what Rashi explains. When goes is in Masayerek, but the Sporishallah, you're not allowed to use the big scissors. It's normally used to detach the vegetables from the ground. You're not allowed to use it to slice the vegetable because of Marisayan. Yeah, what happens if you have certain vegetables that you just can't eat without slicing them, without cutting them up? So the Braisa says, you're permitted to cut them up. What does it say in the Braisa? Avol misaknem is hakundis ves hakovayois. So Rashi says different kinds of vegetables, that you have to chop them up a lot in order to be able to eat it. So even though it's a big tircha, you're permitted to chop it up on Yom Tov. Otherwise you can't eat it. So you're permitted to do that. Umesikim, and you're permitted to light a flame, but oifim, and you're permitted to bake the pyroni. Pyroni means, as Rashi says, a gigantic oven. Yeah, not only are you permitted to use a small oven, you're even permitted to use a gigantic oven if Rashi says, if you have so many guests that you need it. If you have so many guests, I'll finish Kembrera, so then you're permitted to use the big oven. Balechashina letircha, it's a bigger tircha, you're going to use so much more logs and so on. Rashi says there are so many guests eating by him, there are so many children, whatever, that it's not enough. If he'll bake in a normal oven, he'll have to bake in two shifts. So he wants to bake in this gigantic furnace.
When they have to carry something,
right, to walk in the street, yeah, when you're walking in the
outside.
So why don't you say the same thing here?
Stomach in the street, yeah. But in the house, you're allowed to. In the house, he's permitted to. Even though it's a bigger tircha, there's no chashash.
According to the lashon of Rashi, if he had only two people, he would not be allowed to use himself.
Right, because it's a tircha yisera,
Rashi. So you have to use the fuller.
Yeah, yeah. So it says you're permitted to use this big furnace if he needs it, even though it's a bigger tircha. Antiki is also a big chaynik, a big samovar. If you put a little kettle on the fire because you want to cook a few cups of tea or coffee for the guests or something, make a taste. What if the person is going to put on a gigantic thing? So if he has a hotel and he has a 400 guests, so he's permitted to do it. There's nothing wrong on Yontif. He's permitted to cook. Antiki is a big water container. However, the Tosefta says, what if you got a brand new furnace, a brand new oven, and it's you're not sure whether it's going to work? It may be that the first time you're going to try it out, it may fall apart. It may be that you won't succeed in cooking. Maybe that it's just not going to work. So then it'll come out that you did a big tircha, you made a whole fire in the furnace, and it was all garnished. Nothing came out of it. So the Tosefta says, if it's such a parani, if it's such a system, that it's pretty often that it falls apart, it doesn't work, so you're not allowed to try it out on Yontif. In other words, you're allowed to use a brand new stove. That's not a problem, because Mecha tastes that it's not going to work. A normal pot of pen, you have a brand new pot or a brand new pen that was never used before, but why shouldn't it work? But if you have these big furnaces, apparently there was a certain percentage, probably a miotamotsui, probably 10% miotamotsui, that it didn't work. So anytime you have a brand new kli and there's a miyotamotzi, that it may not work, so you shouldn't use it the first time on Yontif, because it may turn out that it's a tircha shalolitzar. That's what you had about shechting What about shechting a chicken or a behemah on Yontif that has a reis in it that it may turn out to be a treifa? If there's a niyat amotzi that it may turn out to be a treifa, then it's taka from. Then you taka shouldn't shecht it on Yontif. That's the Shagasari said in the Tshuva that Bismanazel was so machma on treifas, it comes up by us. There's always a niyat amotzi of behemahs or chickens that are going to be a treifa. So you shouldn't eat it, shouldn't shecht. What? And chickens, yeah, probably. And behemoths, you find. Behemoths, you have a mi'at ha-motzah. Yeah, chickens, not. Less, much less. Then the Tosefta continues weiter. This is like a kitzur shulchan aruch, one thing after the other. Tana rabbana nocha Tosefta in nafchim ha-mapuach. Let's say they have a furnace on Yontif in order everybody should keep warm, in order to keep the food hot, to cook the food. So he wants to fan the flames. How do you fan the flames? So they have these big things that bellows. They bellow, that they blow, like the mumchim do like that. So that looks like an uvda dechol. So the Tosefta says you shouldn't do that on Yontif. So how do you blow? Avonavchim b'shvaferes, if you have a tube, blow through the tube. Don't use a big instrument that's miyuchad for that. Let's say the spit broke, or let's say the knife broke, so it says you're not permitted to fix the spit, because you're not allowed to sharpen it. So Rashi says, just a minute. Why not? But it's also tzarech ha'chol nefesh. This is called machshirei ha'chol nefesh. Machshirei. I'm going to fix. Oh, so if I could have fixed it on Erev Yontif, if it broke on Erev Yontif and I had time to fix it, if it broke right before the finish, he has to go to shul, he had no time. But if it broke before, and he really had time to fix it on Erev Yontif, his l'chol adei is not permitted to fix it on Yontif. But if it broke on Yontif, I broke the last minute, the last hour in the day, Erev Yontif, and everybody's running to take a shower for Yontif and to get ready. He had no time to fix it. So then it's a machlekes of Yudah and Rabbanah. So Rashi says either the Tosefta goes Shaloika Halacha, the Loika Reb Yudah. Rashi writes six lines from the bottom. The Tosefta is the Loika Reb Yudah, and the din is like Reb Yudah, that it's mutter, even to fix a broken knife or a broken kli. And Yontif is mutter because we pass Machshirach on Nevesh is mutter. It's Halacha Be'emarim Kei. We shouldn't publicize, but those who know the din can do it. It's in Ami Rashi says maybe the Tosefta is not taking a stand at all. Maybe the Tosefta is talking about a case. It broke way before, a week before Yontif. Had plenty of time to fix it before Yontif. We didn't bother to. So then for sure you're not allowed to. Okay.
So the Tosefta. Like a blazer either. A blazer de Mila.
A blazer de Mila holds that what?
A machshirei. And Shabbos often.
Machshirei Milo, yeah. Ablezer talks about Machshirei Bris Milo. Yeah. What does he hold about Machshirei Oichal Nefesh? Yeah. The Gemara does say something that I don't remember. The Gemara there in Ablezer the Milo quotes up Bryce. What is Ablezer's opinion about this topic? I don't remember. But the famous Machlech is Rabbi Yudah Nachacham. Tan Rabbanan, the concluding Tosef, Emef Atzimus Hakana Litzlus by Moliach. Let's say you want to broil some fish or some chicken or something. So you have to put it on something. You're not going to hold it in your hand. You burn your fingers. So you have to put it on something. He doesn't have. What he has is, let's say, some bamboo wood. And he wants to crack the bamboo in half. The bamboo is going to fall off. So he wants to crack it in half. Hakana, which is round. He wants to crack it in half. So it should be a flat surface to hold a few broken pieces of bamboo. And he'll put it, the flame, the wood is, paper will burn in the fire. But the wood is not going to burn, let's say. So he'll use this broken bamboo as a surface, like a kli, a container, to put the chicken or to put the fish on that he wants to broil.
It's not going to be a kli. Now you'll do it.
So that said, you're not permitted to make it into a kli. We have that already. You're not permitted to make something, even though you're not going to really, you're not going to be able to reuse it so often. You use it a couple of times on Friday. So that's also a problem, and that's a form of mesakin mona. However, Aval Mefatzen Nesegos B'matlis, let's say you want to crack open the nuts, he's not going to use the nuts as a surface for it, he just wants to eat the food inside the nuts. So it says it's permissible to crack open a nut. You're allowed to crack a nut on Shabbos also. That's not only a din on Yontif, and you're even permitted to crack, let's say you're afraid you're going to crack the nut with your hand, you can hurt your hand, it's very sharp on one end. Walnuts, let's say, they have a point at the end, so you're going to crack it in your hand, you're going to hurt your hand, so you use a piece of cloth. Let's say when you bang on the thing, I'm use a piece of cloth. Are you permitted to do that? The cloth may get ripped. There may be malach involved. So the Tosefta says, you don't have to be concerned. You're permitted to wrap it with a matlis, with a shmata of cloth, and you don't have to be concerned about the possibility that it's going to get ripped. Why don't you have to be concerned? The Rebbe Kivege writes on the side of the Gemara, Nigilian Ashas, you don't have to be concerned because maybe yes, maybe not. It's a Dovashain and Miskaveh. He doesn't know whether it's going to rip. If he knows the Vada, it's going to rip. That's a Psikreshe. But he doesn't know for sure. It says, Vein Choshishim Shema Tikare. He doesn't have to be concerned. Maybe it will rip.
The
Dovashain and
Miskaveh.
Huh? Korea? Korea is a Malacha. Oh, so Rashi writes that the reason why it's Mutter is because it's Korea. Almanas Litvar is a malacha. They write that Kareya Shalai Almanas Litvar is Mutter. So why is it Mutter? It's not Rabbi Kivenger. It's not true. Kareya Shalai Almanas Litvar is a malacha mid the Rabbanim. It's malacha shein. It's mekalkel. He's doing kriya. But Shalmanas Litvar. So why does Rashi say that that solves the problem? That's Rabbi Kivenger doesn't understand why Rashi says that it's Kareya Shalai Almanas Litvar. What do you say there? What? What Korea should be mutter also?
Not necessarily that it's going to be Korea.
I mean, you want to parempa Rashi. The Rashi means that it's mutter because it's only Korea midirabbanan. I don't know.
Yeah,
could
not,
be. Could be.
Not everything is going to be Korea. It can be.
That's what Rabbi Kivege says. It's not necessary that it's going. It's not a psikration, so it's mutter because Dov Shein is covered. But Rashi didn't say like that. Rashi said because it's only Kareya Shalom and Aslitva. So Rabbi Kivege says Koshali, but it's still in Issa Dirabbana. So he wants to explain. He says, no, but we're talking Ayantiv. The Ayantiv, Haichal Nefesh, should really be matter everything. But the Ripa begged apparently to do a real malach of Kareya, that would not be mutter Litzar Haichal Nefesh, like detaching the fruit from the trees. Mamash Haichal Nefesh. And still Taisus explained that it's not permissible on Yantav, to go fishing on Yantav. Not permissible to catch a wild animal on Yantav. Not allowed to.
The reason also by taking people should think of harvesting the fruit off the tree.
That people go,
it's not that there's an
issue involved
in the Torah, that people should be
counted
as a general rule.
Right, Zamishan said that it's only forbidden with the Rabbanan, that he shouldn't do too much on Yantav. The Torah is really mutter to be kosher whatever he needs. But it's also in the Rabbanan, right? So it could be that that's the pshat in the Rashi. Could be that that's the pshat, like you say, that Korea, the nature of the Malachas Korea is such that you're not really allowed to do it with Tzarech HaChol Nefesh. But if it's only Korea in the Rabbanan, and it's a Tzarech HaChol Nefesh, maybe that's how Rashi learns that it's mutter.
Couldn't we say that Hador Plat Rav Shem Legabe Shabbos and Yom Tov Legabe Rabbi Yehuda?
Aloha kirab shimi mi legabi mukta. Legabi mukta dikadina. But not legabi dov shenim is kamen. Dov shenim is kamen is always mutter. Even on Shabbos, it's always mutter. Okay, so that was a few brises, a series of brises. Each one had another did. Now the Mishnah is quoting now machlokes Reb Lezer Nachachamim. And we had in the previous Mishnah, Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, a machlokes Reb Lezer Nachachamim. On Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, there was a double machlokes Reb Lezer Nachachamim. Reb Lezer was the makel on both issues. Reb Lezer was makel on two issues. So this Mishnah has Lamed Dalet Lamed Aleph. Oidom Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer has a third issue, a third case where he disagrees with the Chachamim. And again, Reb Lezer is Lahakel and the Chachamim Alahachner. What if the person has a whole basket full of fruits or vegetables, whatever, that he didn't really plan to eat on the Yontif? So it'll be mukta. If you, let's say you have it in the field. I harvested the fruits and vegetables sitting in the field, and I didn't plan to eat it. So then it's going to be mukta on Shabbos and Yontif. So if you're mazmin it min bod yom, so then that decides mukta. So how exactly how do you have to be mazmin? So if I take the vegetables and I take them into the kitchen, I put them in the refrigerator. So a lot of that's hazman. That's an umdur in the muhafta, or it's anywhere in the kitchen, or in the...
It's in the field, isn't it?
If it's in the field, it's still going to be mukta. So let's say it's still on the field, it's in a bushel, in a basket on the field, and he makes an oral declaration as he's going to shul. He says, oh, Chabon's in, he's going to eat the fruits, he may eat some of the fruits and vegetables over there. Is that sufficient? Does he say no? He has to pick up the basket, or he has to put them aside, he has to point to them and say, I'm going to eat these. How much of a hazmana do you need? So this is a machlekes in the Tanoim.
But what happened the whole week? He kept it all the time outside. and he didn't have a refrigerator, he was not orderly embroidered in the kitchen. Then he ordered something, he took an apple, he took a what's name, he took an onion, he left it from there. Why shouldn't he be able to take it on Yom Tov then?
All week long there's no problem, even if it's muktzah. There's no dinner muktzah on the weekdays, but on Yom Tov and Shabbos there is a dinner muktzah.
Why should it be muktzah? It's not
that that's his nusach. All week long he does like
that. Does not separate any food. Mm. All everything is laying there. And it's for Shuto, and Nafal.
Could be. Could be. No, he says, let's say he has a field right next, and all week long that's the way he does it. That's what he always does. Whenever he wants food, he goes out to the field. Okay, then it's like in his kitchen. Then it's the same as the kitchen, the stomach. Yeah, the pashtus is, we're talking about a case that normally in the weekdays he doesn't go to the field. Normally he takes from the field, puts it in the kitchen, and then he takes from the kitchen or from the shed, or from the cabinet or something. So here on Erev Yontif, if he takes it to the kitchen, is doch fine. Meretach, he doesn't bring it into the kitchen, leaves it there, he just makes a declaration, mikan ani noita lemocha. So is that good enough? Right, so that's what Tosis points out. That was the machlokes by birds.
Yeah.
Tosis, of course, that was the machlokes not Yudam and Aleph by shechting birds on Yom Tov. He has a whole a farm of chicks. So all the live animals are muktzah, unless you plan to shecht them. Yeah, so then it's always muktzah. So let's say he says, I plan to shecht these chickens. Yeah. I plan to shecht these chicks. Is that good enough, or does he have to pick it up and make a declaration? So that was the machlokes b'shamim misilul. And Rab Lezer Shamute, Rab Lezer Ben Hurkinis, Rab Lezer Agadol, Rab Lezer in the Mishnahs, Rab Lezer Ben Hurkinis, he's from the Beis Shammai, and the Beis Shammai were the ones who were Machmir, and all of a sudden Rab Lezer over here is Mekel, and the Chachamim who disagree with Rab Lezer are the Beis Hillel, and they're Machmir here, and there they were Mekel. So that's Tosis Kasha on the top of Amid Beis. Maksha the Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi Frekta Kasha on this Mishnah, that's the top Tosis on Lamed Daled on the Beis. Doesn't it come out that Mechlefa Shitzayu, the Beis Shammai? The Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel are tzedreit over here. That there the Beis Shammai was the machmir, that you have to pick up the birds and say I plan to shechter. And here Rab Lezer, who represents the Beis Shammai, because Rab Lezer Shamutahu, says he just, the Oimer, he just makes an oral declaration, Mekanani Noit, Tal Damachar, is enough.
Yeah.
And the Chachamim Mamun would disagree with Rab Lezer, that's Beis Hillel. And they insist, no, you have to do something much more than that, not much more than just making an oral declaration. And there they said that it is good enough, an oral declaration. So Tosfos quotes the Terutzin. Achivik, but in this case, that case, okay. They give chilukim. Rashi in one place says, the Gemara says, we don't paskin, in the first parak in Nidah, the Gemara says, we rarely paskin like Rav Lezer. The case, we don't paskin like Rav Lezer because Rav Lezer shamutehu. The Rashi in one place there in Nidah, the Gemara says, because they put him in Nidui. They were Shamta. They put him in Cherem because the Flek Zechalim Alayim Raisim at the other Tanoim. He used to always disagree, and he used to tell him, you can't outvote me. Al Tachushu L'minyan Echem, you can't outvote me, I'm bigger than all of you put together. And the Yerushalmi says the reason why he was called Rab Lezer HaGadol is because the Mokam Shatam Motzi, because the Lassa Shalak Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shamata Motzi Amisonusa, because he was so humble. You don't get the impression from the Babli like that, but that's what it says in the Yerushalmi. The reason why he was known as Rav Lezer HaGadol because of his great humility. He was very humble. But he told them, what are you talking about? How can you outvote me? You don't know what you... Somehow he said in such a... I can't visualize how you say it without insulting the other people. But that's what he used to say. Al Tachush Alamin Echem. You can't outvote me. And Yerushalmi says he was more humble than all of them. So in one place, Rashi says that the reason why we don't pass him like Rav Lezer because Rav Lezer Shamute is because they put him in Nidui and that's why they didn't want to follow any of his opinions. But in the other place, Rashi also says, the other place, Rashi also says like Tesis, like the Yerushalmi, that Rav Lezer Shamute means he was from the Beis Shammai and his opinions were outvoted with all the other views of the Beis Shammai. That's the Ruba of the cases we pass him like the Beis Hillel. Very few cases we pass him like Beis Shammai.
It's a big difference. Either from all Beis Shammai or
Well, of course,
you're
in Nibri,
that they get their act together. I mean, this is an embarrassment
one way or the other. Yeah. That's the same level as the Nibri, right? Same Tana, Rav Lezer. Yeah, Rav Lezer Ben Hurkan. Same Tana. Yeah. Same. So the Tosis gives chilukim why Balechaim is different and why over here is different. This far as Lakan. Why does room to be Mechal? So that's the machlokes hatanaim. So now the Gemara has a discussion on this Mishnah. Really has nothing to do, has very little to do with the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes Tanan Hasam. The din is that whatever grows in whatever edible fruits and vegetables and grains or whatever, vebalach, kidneys, whatever grows in Eretz Israel is chayv and afroshes trumas and maisus. And if you eat it without being mafresh the trumas and maisus, you're eating tevel. And one who eats tevel does chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Of course, the misa b'dei shamayim, the punishment misa b'dei shamayim is b'dei shamayim. And the punishment is only if it's real tevel derais. If it's only going to be tevel midirabanon, then it's not going to be a punishment on misa b'dei shamayim. So that's a discussion exactly when is it tevel derais. So most of the rishonim are of the opinion, like Rashi and Tosfos, that the real din of trumas and maisris minatora with tevel derais is only by dog and tirish v'yitzer. Because the psukim say several times, and Kriyashma says, Safta de Ganacha v'sirosh v'yitzerach, but that has nothing to do with Shumas and Maisers. But the Psukim in Chumash Dvarim say, Reishis de Ganacha v'sirosh v'yitzerach, referring to Truma. Reishis is the first thing you take out of the Truma. First you take Bikurim, when it's still attached to the ground. That's Rishon, all the way. But Reishis de Ganacha v'sirosh v'yitzerach is referring to the Truma. And the Pasuk only speaks about Tiroshcha. Reishis de Ganacha, Tiroshcha v'yitzerach. Dogon is a Hameshis mini Dogon. Wheat and barley and all the kinds of wheat and all the kinds of barley, wheat, rye, oats, barley, spelt and so on. That's a dogan and tirosh is wine and grape. And yitzar is olive oil, olives and olive oil. So it's assumed that these three are minatar and we pass and everything else is only midirabban. So the din deraisa that you. Midirabanan, you have to be mafish, trumas, maisus, and everything. Let's concentrate first on the din, because the whole sugi is going to be talking dinim derais, the dinim derabanan, so you have to zero in on what the dinim derais. So the din derais is that if somebody eats tevel from the dogon tirish v'yitzah, from the dogon means the hameshis, meaning dogon, the wheat and the barley, and the tirish means the wine, and the yitzah means the olive oil, so that's the din derais, you have to be mafish, trumas, and maisus. So that din derais, that yechayim yis v'desh mayim, that's only if you had number one, it grew in Eretz Yisrael. Number two, it grew to its rightness, and had to have havashlish. Let's say the tvue only grew one sixth of its total size, or one fifth, or one fourth. Then it's not enough. It has to be a minimum havashlish. It has to at least grow one third of its. That's a shot of one third of what? One third of the length of time that you need that it should grow, or one third of the size, because the big growth is at the end. So if it means one third of the time that it should sit in the ground, so it's not going to be one third of its total size. The pashtus is, that's a machlokes in Rishonim and Achronim. I think the pashtus is usually assumed, I'm not sure, I don't live in Eretz Yisrael. I think most assume that the havua shlish, the term that appears in the Gemara, havua shlish for tzvuah, I think most assume that it means that the grain, when it would be fully ripe, would be so big. So if it's one third of that size, does have avashlish. And if it didn't have avashlish, then it ate the alma. Then it's not chayv. Even if you sit and you eat it, so you're eating wood. That's not pre. It's not called dogam. In order to be called dogam, tirish yitzah, it has to first be a pre. A pre has to leave the status of eight and enter into pre. So the minimum is avashlish. And then by the grapes and by the olives that you make grape juice from and you make olive oil from, so that's something like avashlish. So that the Gemara says also in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, quotes Mishnayos, that you have to have a certain degree of growth, that it has to, the fruits have to grow till a minimum size, that it should be called a pri, and before that stage it's called eitz bialma, is not chayin trumas and maisus. So then next you have to detach it from the ground. Kozman is still attached to the ground. Of course you can't eat it. It's attached to the ground, you can't eat it. And once you start to eat the grapes that are attached to the tree, then it already becomes detached. But you can't be mafresh trumas and maisus when it's still attached to the ground. So first of all it has to have havu ashlish. Or a parallel to havu ashlish is by tvuah, by dogon, and by grapes and olives, you have to have a parallel to havu ashlish. And then you have, Gemara calls it chanotah. But very similar, you go basa chanotah. Chanotah is some kind of a stage in development. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah sounds like he says, when it starts to bud, when the fruit starts to bud, that's way before. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says, no, Chanata by Teres Ilon is something like Havua Shlish by the Tzvua. It's one third, approximately one third of the full size. But it does mean the budding. The budding is way before. That's Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. I think we assume like Tosfos. So first of all, you have to have that it should be Havua Shlish, that it should be called Pri. Secondly, you have to have that it should be detached from the tree, called man is attached to the tree, it can be mavish from Mesmaisa even if you want to. It simply will not be chal, even to the Eben will not be chal. And then, once it's detached, if you mafrish trumas amaisus, the hafrosha will be chal. The Gemara calls that, if you mafrish bishibolim. Shibolim means it has all of the psolus, everything is all together. But you're not obligated to be mafrish then. If you mafrish it's chal, if you mafrish bishibolim, it'll remove the isa tevel, likashayir tevel, but it's not yet tevel. If you'll eat it at that stage, bishibolim, without being mafish to Musa Maestris, you will not be chayv misav deshmaim because it doesn't really have the Yisra Tevel. When does the Yisra Tevel set in? That's what this sugi is dealing with. You have to have miruach and rias pnei abayis in that order. Miruach means you detach the psolus from the yochel. That's number one. Number two, you put it in a big neat pile. And then Rashi claims, number three, umachliko, you smooth it off the top of the pile berachas with an instrument. You smooth off a very neat pile. The Rambam doesn't have the machliko barachas. The Rambam just says the first two. The Achrayim assume that that's a machlek is Rashi and the Rambam. That the Rambam seems to hold that that miruach, the term that appears in the Mishnah is miruach, that you have to have miruach in order to be chayvin shum mismaisis menater. Miruach just means you separated the ochel from the psolus, the shells and everything, and you put it in a kri. You put it in a digun. Digun means a whole pile. It doesn't have to be such a neat pile. And Rashi says, no, it has to be a neat pile. And then after doing the miruach, then you have to have riyas pnei abayis. You have to bring it into the house in a normal fashion. If you bring it in through the windows, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, if you bring it in through the windows, then the Gemara says in Bav Metzir Daf Peches that you're not chayiv. You have to dafke bring it in. Derech HaPesach dafke. Derech HaPesach.
What is always tinokot?
We'll get to it. This is a din minhatar that it's only forbidden to eat tevel if it doesn't perish v'yitzar, if it grew havua shlish, or it had chanote, parallel to havua shlish, and it was detached from the tree, and then you did the miruach, and then you did the riyas pnei abayis, everything in order. What if he didn't yet do the riyas pnei abayis? He first did the miruach, and he didn't do riyas pnei abayis yet. So then, it's only also to eat it with the rabbanon. If you eat it achilas keva, if you eat achilas aroi, they never introduce even an isa de rabbanon. If you eat achilas keva, then it's an isa de rabbanon to eat it.
Shabbos.
And then achilas keva means he sits and eats a whole meal. He eats a lot. And then the Gemara has there are six things. The Rambam quotes there are shisha dvarim. There are six things that constitute keva. Even though he's only eating a tiny bit, he's only eating one fruit, he's only eating one kernel of grain, the halacha declares that that's called achilas keva. The whole institution of eating achilas keva is forbidden. After miruach, before riyas pnei abayis, the whole thing is only midirabban. So midirabban, they drew up a list of six things that they consider achilas keva, even though it's not really keva. He's not eating so much. So one is Shabbos kevas. The Gemara says over here, whatever little bit you nibble on Shabbos, it's called Achila Hashuva because Yeshaya Novi says the Karasa the Shabbos Oinik. You should have Oinik Shabbos. You should enjoy your meals on Shabbos. So whatever you eat on Shabbos is considered a Hashivas. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya Nun Ches that the Gemara quotes. Then there's another din that the Bishul is Koveya. That if you cook the food, it's called Achila's Kevi, even if it's only a tiny little bit. Then there's a din that Melech is Koveya. If you salt it, if you put salt on it, then it's also Koveya. The Gemara is going to go into some of the details over here. Then there's a din that Mekach is kaveh. If you purchase it from someone else, so that shows a chashivas. You bought it from the other guy and then you eat it, if you're eating your own, doesn't necessarily show any chashivas, but if you bought it from someone else, a mekach is kaveh. So a whole list of things that are kaveh. So we assume in the Gemara that all of these things that are kaveh is only if you first had miruach and you didn't have riyas pnei abayis yet, so then these things are kaveh. But if you didn't even have miruach, then it's not kaveh. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says on the next daf. Where is it? Here, five lines from the bottom. Kiyosa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan on Lamed Hey Amar Aleph. When Ravin came from Eretz, Rabbi Yochanan was the first generation of Amoraim. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Hanasi. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, and the Talmud Babli was composed in Babel. So they didn't know Rabbi Yochanan, but Talmidim would travel back and forth So they would tell them over what Rabbi Yochanan said. So when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he told them over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Shabbos, Echad Shuma, Echad Chutz, Echad Mekach. Shuma is another din that, let's say I have Peiris, Tvua, grapes, and it's all a sloppy mess. It has the psolas, but the yochel, everything all mixed in together. I didn't even do meruach yet. I didn't even do the meruach. I didn't separate the yochel from the psolas. So the din says, if you mafresh bishi bolam, the hafrosh is chal. If you mafresh trumas and maises, when it's this state, you're not obligated to be mafresh. You can eat it, you can even eat it achilos kevim, with the rabbanim, you're not permitted to eat it, but if you mafresh, the hafrosh is chal minatur. So what happens if you have the tvua, it didn't even have meruach yet, but then he goes ahead and he's mafresh truma, and he wasn't mafresh the maise rish, the maise shenia. Oh, once he's mafresh the truma, that's koveya. He shows that he's preparing it for achila, so that's a takana of the rabbanon, that hafrosh as truma makes everything into achilas keva, and even though he didn't get yet to be mafresh the maise rishon with the maise shenia, the maise rani, whatever it happens to be, he's already not allowed to eat the even achilas haroi, because hafrosh as truma causes the whole situation to be labeled as one of achilas keva. So that's one of the things that's kaveh. What is it? Mekach and melach and bishul and Shabbos and truma. I forgot what the sixth one was. The sixth
maybe
thing. Chotzer.
Maybe hasaybuk.
I don't remember already. Hasaybuk. I don't think so. I think chotzer. Chotzer is kaveh.
Hasaybuk should be.
Could be. Chotzer. I don't remember. Chotzer is the sixth one. Chotzer is kaveh. So now the Gemara is going to go into the discussion of the details of these dinim. Once mentioned for Absalvechik, he said, "Azam modna din. What kind of halacha is this? We have basa b'cholav that's also mid the rabbanon. If you cook chicken and milk, it's only basa b'cholav mid the rabbanon. But you have, let's say, you have flesh and milk, but you didn't cook it together. You just eat it together. So it's only osar achilas kevat, mutar achilas aroy. Never heard of such a thing. Gid anosha is osam in atayra." And the shuman agir, the fat on top of the gir anosh, is only also mid the rabbanon. The Gemara says maximum, either mid the rabbanon or it's only a minig. Okay, so Mishnah points out the Gemara seems to say it's not even a nisa the rabbanon. Shuman agir is only a minig. So did anybody ever hear such a svar that because it's only mid the rabbanon, so it's only also achilas keva and achilas aroyt smut? I've never heard of such a thing. So where did they come off to make such a strange aloche that you're not allowed to eat tevel mid the rabbanon? Mid atar it's not tevel unless you have meruach and riyas b'nei abayis in the correct order. And with the Rabbanon, if you had Meruach and you didn't have Rias Mei Abayis yet, you're not allowed to eat it Achilas Keva, but Achilas Aroi, you're allowed to eat it. Where did that come from? So Anisa, Macholas Asuris Tevel with the Rabbanon, but you only, after it becomes real Tevel Menatar, you're not even allowed to eat it Achilas. So it's only also if you eat achilas keva, eat achilas aroy is mutter. We usually assume called the tikkun rabbanon came the right to tikkun. What in the world is this pattern here? It doesn't correspond to anything. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. And then 20 years later, we found that the Rambam says like that in the period. Sometimes he used to say a lot of things, and we said, where did he get that from? Then many years later, we found it's enough in a Mishnah, it's enough in a Tosfos, it's enough in a Rambam. So 25 years later, we found the Rambam has this work. So he said like this, no, that's the din deraisa. He said, why is the halacha say you have to have meruach and then riyas p'nei abayis? What is this riyas p'nei abayis? Meruach, it's not called oichel. It's not. It's dirty. If it doesn't grow habash lish, it's eitz. So even if it did grow habash lish, and you detach it from the tree, kozman, you didn't remove the psoilus, it's not called oichel. Okay, we understand. But after you already cleaned it off and you put it on a nipah, this is the oichel. So what's the difference when you have Rias Pnei Abayis you don't have? So he said, that's the word on the level of the Raisa. If you eat it before Rias Pnei Abayis, even if you eat a ton of it, it's called Achilas Aroi. After you do Rias Pnei Abayis, even if you eat a nibble of it, you eat a mashu of it, that's called Achilas Keva. So on the level of the Raisa, that's the nature of the din of Rias Pnei Abayis, that the Issa Tevel the Raisa is only if you eat it Achilas Keva. But on the level of the rice, what it means is, whatever form of eating you do after Rias Pnei Abayis, is always called achilas keva, and even if you eat a ton of it before Rias Me'apa, it's always called achilas arut. So in the Rabbanu, they took that and they said, we'll give you additional cases of achilas keva. Shabbos and chatzir and melach, a whole bunch of other things also are also called achilas keva. So he said, Adirabba, this din de Rabbanon shows us what the nature of the din de Raisa was. That was always behind the din de Raisa. That's how the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Chumash. And the Aruch HaZoch, he doesn't mention it. But in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Chumash, he mentions it. So now the Mishnah has an interesting din. What do you mean, Shabbos Koivas Lemaise? On Shabbos, even if you're just going to nibble a little bit, you're not eating a lot. Whatever you eat on Shabbos is called Achilas Keva. So now the Mishnah has the following. What if I took some peiros at a tevel, and I set them aside, I plan to eat it on Shabbos. Then it turns out we visited some other people, or we had so many other courses to eat in the meal, we never ate the dessert, we never got around to eat it. So we designated this for Achilas Shabbos, and we never got around to eat it. So now it's already the middle of the week, the next week. So we want to eat it from Malava Malka. Now I'm only going to eat it Achilas Arayim. Now I'm only going to eat it. I'm only going to nibble a little bit. I didn't do yet Rias Panabai. So if I would have eaten it on Shabbos Kervas, it would have been called Achilas Keva. And you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos without Afrashas, Trumas, and Mises. But it turns out he didn't eat it on Shabbos. Now he's going to eat it in the middle of the week. So what are you going to say, Shabbos Kervas? So the Mishnah has a din. Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah Mises says, even if they're only little children, even Tinoikas, who are before Bar Mitzvah, Shetam Nutein in the Erev Shabbos, they set aside Peiros to eat on Shabbos, and they didn't have a Rias Pnei Abayis yet, so it's not Tevel Deraisa, but they designated Trachiv, they designated to eat in groups, whatever, Pirchei groups on Shabbos. Yishachuchu v'lo Yisro, and they forgot. So if they really would want to eat it on Shabbos, they have to be Mafrish Tumas Maises, so they forgot to be Mafrish Tumas Maises, they forgot to be Mafrish, they're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. And then, now they're going to eat it on Matzoi Shabbos. And now you eat it on Matzoi Shabbos, what are you going to say, Shabbos Kervas? You're not eating it on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, the Chiddush, no, lo yochlu, lo Matzoi Shabbos, lo yochlu, even after Shabbos is over, you're not allowed to eat it. Elon came to Israel, you have to be mafrish. Why? If you set it aside for Achila Shabbos, Shabbos is koveya it, even if lebesof, you don't eat it on Shabbos, even if you only eat it on the weekdays after Shabbos. Shabbos is Kervas. There are two dinim that Shabbos Kervas. I didn't set anything aside for Shabbos. Oh. Have a shed full of fruits and vegetables. It's all tevel. When I'll be interested in eating it, I'll be mafresh shemus ma'iz. What's my rush? And then, and let's say it's all achilas aroy. Everything is before Rias Pnei Abayis. Let's say it's in the field. Everything is achilas aroy. So whatever you want to eat on Shabbos is also to eat before afrosh, because whatever you eat on Shabbos will be called achilas keva. Not on that's the famous din. And here this Mishnah tells me an additional din. If they said, even if children before Bar Mitzvah, normally a child before Bar Mitzvah, if he didn't, is a lot badas. It's a lot badas. What do you mean he designated? It shouldn't count? So the answer is no. A lot badas, you only need das for Gitni Kiddushin, for Mekach, a Memkar, to be a Baronshin, you have to be a badas. But there is something that only need Kavana. The Halacha distinguishes in a dictionary, you look in a dictionary, the word das and Kavana and Rotzin and Haskama and Hachlot is all the same thing. But in Halacha, we distinguish, we use technical terms. So das is a term that we use when you want to do mekach memkar, when you want to take a neder or a shvuah, when you want to do gitni kedushin, you have to be a badas. A child before bar mitzvah can be the Vilna Goy. A super genius, al pidin, is considered a la badas. But sometimes the halacha says you don't need das, you just need kavana. Let's say when you have mechatos, paraduma water, and you want to be mitar somebody, so you have to have, he's a tohar al atome, and he has to have in mind to spritz the water on this person. If you're just throwing water, and he happened to hit somebody on the head or on some table that a tummy, that's no good. It's only if he does the hazor with kavanah. So the Mishnah says the Farish, if you have a child before bar mitzvah and he knows what he's doing and he knows what direction he's throwing, that's good enough. And you have many other dinim like that. But Rashi,
it's not his,
it has to be a case that he has the right to, he's authorized to, because otherwise ain't on the Moshe Davish ain't Shalom, he's not a balabas to designate. That is, is assumed to be correct.
Someone is selling Arba Taminim. It's not big enough. In the market, sometimes children are selling
Arba Taminim. That's a big problem. A lot of times you have children before Bar Mitzvah. First they need Shalachem. First they need Shalachem, so that's taka problem. First they need Shalachem in Atayrah. So that's a question whether the child before Bar Mitzvah can make Kinyan amid the Rabbanon, but his Kinyan is not valid min HaTorah. So is that good enough for Shalachem deraisa? that's a big machlekes and rishayim and toskim, is that acceptable? If I give a matana to the child is konim in ator. If I give him a matana, yeah, but over here, but same shaila. There, the Gemara says you shouldn't give the lulav and the esrog on the first day of Yontif. You shouldn't give it to a child before bar mitzvah because he can be kone, but he can't be makna back. So if all of the gedolim after bar mitzvah were not yet yotze and they have to have shalachem. So if I'm going to give it to the kid, he can be kana, but he can't be makna back. So that's a big machlekes in the Mishnah. What age katna are you talking about over there that he can't be makna back? Why? He can be makna back midirabbanon. Midirabbanon made a takana that a katan can be makna. So what is the Gemara so concerned about? So some Mishnahim say we're talking about such a young katan that the takana derabbanon doesn't even apply. He's younger than that age. So then it's a problem. So how is he kona? Why do you say that he's kona? So they explain, they work hard on it. And other Rishonim say, no, we're talking about Katan who is old enough to make a Kinyan Midirabbanan, but Kinyan Midirabbanan is not acceptable for the first day Yom Tov. You need Shalachem there.
Kinyan is not everyone.
Okay.
You take everyone.
Okay.
Why do we allow Kinyan altogether on Yom Tov?
Normally, Mekach HaMemka is not permitted on Yom Tov. So the Rishonim, the Bahagist Akasha, how can you give a Matana Manas Lahachzer? How can you give a Lulav and an Esrig? The Mishnah says they gave a Lulav and an Esrig Matana Manas Lahachzer. So how is that acceptable? It's mekach hamemkar. So the Bach says b'makam mitzvah is mutter. B'makam mitzvah is mutter. We had it when you make a, when someone forgot to make an erev tavshilin. So he's not allowed to cook on Yom Tov and Shabbos. So he's stuck. So what does he do? Can only cook once. So what does he do? So the Gemara says let him be makna kimcha la'acher. Let him give the raw food to someone else who didn't make an erev tavshilin, and the other person is permitted to cook. So that's where the Bahag pekta kasha makna kimcha la'acher. How can be makna tzinisa mekach hamemkar? So the Bach said it's a makam mitzvah, otherwise boy's going to eat raw food. So since it's a makam mitzvah, so we are mekel, we allow the mekel and mekel. So I have to see that Bahag is based on our Mishnah with a Gemara laid on Lamed Vav on the base. That's how Rabbi Natan read the Gemara, that whenever it's a makam mitzvah, then you don't have these Xeris the Rabban.
The Mishnah Berurah has finished that Tima on Sukkah in the middle of the meal is called a Chil Skrevah. From there, this is the Mishnah Berurah gets it from, that any
Mishmur was mechanish. Anything in the middle of the meal
outside the sukkah is
considered on sukkah as a chilas keva. Mm-hmm. Mishmur got it from that. Anything in the middle of the meal with the keva, like any achila on Shabbos, could be keva.
No,
I don't think so. No, no.
So what
is he? But
the
achilas
haroy on
Yom Tov
is mutter
chutz
l'sukkah.
No, he says
in
he quotes a Gemara. He says what that person is eating in the sukkah. And then he's thirsty, and he has nothing to drink. So he goes into the kitchen and drinks a cup of water, then he goes back to the sukkah to continue eating. So the drinking of the water is really a chelik of the meal. So he says he wants to wash down the food.
That's why it's kevah.
That's why it's kevah. No, not because of this Gemara. He's hachachas from the Gemara in sukkah. Because the Gemara in sukkah says all the 7 days of sukkah are the most sukkaso kevah ubeso aroi. You should do everything kevah in the sukkah. And the only thing he's allowed to do in the house is aroi. So the Brisa gives an example. What does he do, Kevin, in the sukkah? Echol basukkah. Sleeping. Yoshin basukkah. Says echol basukkah. Shoseh basukkah. Yoshin basukkah. So Mishnah Berurah effect Takasha. What do you mean? Shoseh basukkah. What does he have to drink in the sukkah? Shtiyah is never keva. Even if he drinks a gallon of wine. Shtiyah is never called keva. Only achila. So he says, must be drinking as part of the meal. That's his hachacha.
Yes, yayin is maybe. Okay.
Some rishayim, yeah, that's also another Mishnah Berurah. Some rishayim say shtiyas yayin is called achilas keva. Because there is such a gemara and brachas, yeah, the pas and yayin, there's such a thing as kriyas and pas and
yayin. The maizim Rav Shimon ben Shutav, that was benching.
He benched on the yayin.
Yeah, got at the kasim.
Yeah. Now he has a different one. There's another Gemara that there's kviyas by Pasan Yan.
Ready?
Yeah. Right, that's what a lot of Rishonim hold. Even if he's younger than the age that he should understand what's going on, he's still Kona. And he can't even be makhtan back at all. Even with the Rabbanim, there's no takana that he can be makhtan back. But if he is of age that he can be makhtan back to the Rabbanim, to hear for the Rishonim say there's no problem. He'll be makhtan back. And Shalachem with the Rabbanim is good men atorah. Because Hefke Bez Nefke works men atorah. And the other half of the Rishonim disagree, and they say no. The Kenyan and the Rabbanon is not sufficient for a mitzvah that needs Shalachem and HaTorah. So the Gemara must be talking, even if the child is old enough that Midi Rabbanon can be mocked and back, but still, you shouldn't give him the lulav on the first day before everybody was yours. The Mishnah in Hanizakin says that haputa is mikra, haputa means a child kibashis kibasheva, 6-7 years old, and he understands what it means. Mekka hamemka says haputa is mikra mekka hamemker memka bimitalkalin. If they pick an oil, mishum kadei chayos, he can, if he's making big business now, but to sell a little bit that he needs in order to make a parnasa, so that's a takonim of the rabbanim, that he can make such a kinyan. So that's the machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, when it says you shouldn't give the esrog to a katan on the first day before all the adults, before the people left the bar mitzvah bo yoytze, because he can't be mocked them back. Doesn't mean even if he's after he gave on his haputas, because he'll only be mocked them back with the rabbanim. And you kidding me, the Rabbanon is not loyal when you need Sholachem and Atayra? Oh no, that wouldn't be a problem. Hefke bez nefke, works in Atayra. It's talking, the child is so young that he's kodim shehigi alone at Aputin. Not even kibashis kibashon. Not even 6 or 7. It would be, if he would be 10 years old, it wouldn't be a problem. So again, so in Atayra, the need for Das, that you say even a child, the Erev Bar Mitzvah, he's going to become Bar Mitzvah tomorrow, Erev Bar Mitzvah is a lab bar das, that's the gift, nikidush, and mecha, hamemkar, for onshim, he says a lab bar das, lab bar onshim. But when you get to other dinim, we just need kavana and rotzen, that's not a problem. Let's say hechshel zroin. But you have to have nichale. If the owner of the peiris is happy that it rained on his peiris, that they got rinsed off. So either he pours the water himself, yutan mayim alzeri, either yitin yutan. Either he pours the water on the food and the food becomes hukshel lekabel tuma, that's okay. Or if it rains on it and the owner is nichale, he's happy that his food got rinsed off. So in either case, the food becomes hukshel lekabel tuma. So the Mishnah say that if a cotton does it, it's also good. If the cotton is the owner and he's happy about the fact, he's a labadaz, he's a labadaz, but he's a bar kavana. Rotten he has and kavana he has. Or let's say shchita tzvicha kavona machlokes satanoim. If he shecht the beimah, they need kavona. Or shchita skotchim l'chol hadeis need kavona. The shecht karbonis l'chol hadeis needs kavona. Misasik b'kotchim is possible. If he didn't realize that he was shechting a carbon is no good, l'chol hadeis is no good. So the Gemara says in Chulin that a cotton can do the shchita there too if he knows what he's doing. So a cotton, Rashi quotes from Chulin Daf Yud Gimel that if when it's machshavt and he carries mitoch ma'isov. So that's good enough. Or the Gemara had a half a minute that a cotton can perform chalitza. Aye, but the halach is that the chalitza only, the woman is only permitted to remarry when the chalitza is done. A woman was married, the husband died, and had no children, so there's a surviving brother. So the woman is not permitted to remarry until she has chalitza. So the chalitza has to have, it's only matalo shuk, if yiskaven hu, it yiskaven hi. They both have to have in mind that this is good. So the Gemara had a half a minute that a cotton can do chalitza. If not for the gzeres hakos of ish, ksib v'parsha. Kochi yosa l'ish. Ik ksib v'parsha l'mutei kotna. Kotna is no good. But I suspect Akasha, why do you need a miyut? But if you need kavana, so kotna is a lot by das. So Rav Chaim points out, that's what Taisus answers in effect. You don't need das al fi din. It's not nishken kinyin. You need kavana. So use that bar kavana. He is able to have kavana. So here also, the Mishnah means to tell me, if you set aside some fruits or vegetables to eat on Shabbos, even if the one is setting aside is a cotton before bar mitzvah, but he's intelligent enough to know what he's doing, he knows what it means to set aside to eat on Shabbos, that's governed with the din, that falls under the din of Shabbos Kervas. Even though the mice said they don't eat it on Shabbos, they forgot to eat it, v'shachachu, and they're going to eat it on Matzoi Shabbos, but that's already labeled as Achilas Kerva. And you're not allowed to even eat it Matzoi Shabbos until you'll be marfish with Chumas and Maises. So there are really two dinim Shabbos Kavas. One is if you eat it on Shabbos, one is if you're going to eat it on Matzoi Shabbos.
But no longer has to go into the house through the doorway if
you want the Shabbos fast. Correct. So here, if you look in the two Gemaras, the Mishlam Melech has a whole Shtikal Torah, razzle dazzle. Mishlam Melech is one of the commentaries on the bottom of the Rambam. He lived in the 1700s, as far as Shigoyed. So he has a whole Shtikal Torah. And he didn't have a Rashbah on Beis. He was Mechavan on Mitzvah Shoter. He rediscovered the idea that the Rashbah writes on Adhaf. It's interesting. A lot of times Achrenim didn't have the Rishonim and they figured it out on their own. there's a glaring contradiction between what it says over here and what it says over here. What it says over here is, a Shaila was asked, what about Shabbos Kovas if it didn't even have Miruach? So you say Shabbos Kovas, Achilas Shabbos is called Achilas Keva. If you had Miruach, you didn't have Rias Pnei Abayis yet. What if you didn't even have the Miruach? You didn't even remove the Psolus. It just was cut off of the tree, detached from the ground. You didn't even do stage A. You didn't even do the removal of the Psolus. So do you say Shabbos Kovas even on that? So he says, absolutely you do. He says, who's answering? Omale, I think it's Rav Nachman or somebody. One of the Amoroim is answering, Boy Menei Rava Mirav Nachman. So he says, right in the middle over here, he says, Limud Orochu, the line begins with the word Limud, and Lamed Dalet on the base. Limud Orochu B'yodeinu, no, we have a tradition that is absolutely the Aloche. HaShabbos Kovas doesn't make a difference, Bein B'dov Shenigmo Malachtoi, whether it already had a Miruach prior to Shabbos, Bein B'dov Shalom Nigmo Malachtoi, even if it didn't have a Miruach, Yidin on Shabbos Kovas, it's an old tradition. Limud Orochu B'yodeinu, it's an old tradition, that's the Aloche. That's halacha. Then the next line, the Gemara freaked them up. The Gemara says it's not true. The Gemara proves that it's wrong. And then they quote Rabbi Yechanan, where we just read before. Six lines from the bottom of Laman Hamim now. Kiyosa Rabin, when Rabin came to Meretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, it says the name Rabbi Yechanan, it doesn't make a difference. Shabbos and Truma and Chotzer and Mecca, all the things that are Kaveya, only works if you had Miruach. And you didn't have Rias Pnei Abayis, so the Dovah HaKaveya can substitute, because the whole, the way the Rambam wrote in Pirush HaMishnah, the whole idea of Rias Pnei Abayis is to make it into Achilas Keva. So first you need Miruach to make it into a Chepetz Avoichel, and then Minat Torah it's only prohibited to eat Tevel if you eat it Achilas Keva. And Minat Torah, the only way that's called Achilas Keva is Rias Pnei Abayis. And with the Rabbanon you have Chotzer and you have Mekach and you have Melach and you have all the Bishul, you have all the other things as well. So on this Gemara it says, Rabbi Yechanan says, no, it's only Kaveya if you had first Miruach, then the Shabbos is Kaveya. And he says, no, we have an old tradition, Shabbos Kavas, even if there never was any Miruach. A contradiction? And he says, an old tradition. How could it be an old tradition if the din is that he's wrong? What's going on over here?
No machloikas, Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi
Yechanan. It sounds like it's a machloikas, but how can it be? If it looks fishy, he says, an old tradition. How could it be an old tradition if it's wrong? So where did he get the old tradition from? So the Mishlam Melach write this razzle-dazzle shtikl Torah, and they point out he was mechavin to the Rashba and the Daf. He says there are two kinds of Shabbos Kovas. One is, middle of Shabbos, I decide I want to eat the food. And I want to eat on Shabbos. So then Rab Nachman is right. Limud Aruchu B'yadeinu, whatever you eat on Shabbos, the Achila B'Shabbos makes it into Achilas Keva, even though there was neither Miruach nor Riyas Pnei Abayis. Eat on Shabbos, that's called Achilas Keva. But when Rabbi Yechanan is talking, he's talking about this case. I set aside, I designated the food to be eaten on Shabbos, then I never got to eat it on Shabbos, then I'm going to eat it in the middle of the week. So I say there also Shabbos Kavaz, because it was designated for Shabbos. So even if you leave it, the Mosachol, it's also, that's this Mishnah that the Gemara quotes here, Tinoki should come and attain them, the Arab Shabbos, even little children have set aside the food, the fruits and the vegetables, to nibble on them on Shabbos, and then they forgot all about it, and they didn't get to eat it till Matzoi Shabbos. So that's also called Shabbos Kavah. So that din of Shabbos Kavah, Rav Nachman is right. It's only Kaveya if there was a Miruach, there wasn't Rias Pnei Abayis. So the designation, the plan to eat it on Shabbos, that's Kaveya. But if you didn't even have Miruach and you didn't eat it on Shabbos either, didn't have Miruach, you made up your mind you're going to eat it on Shabbos, then the Maaseh, it doesn't happen, you don't eat it on Shabbos, then you can eat it in the middle of the week. There's no Kaveya. That's how the Rashba and the Mishlam Melech write.
You have to give the Truma on Shabbos?
You're not allowed to. That's the Mishnah later on Lamed Hey. Where is it? Lamed Vav Lamed Beis. What are the prohibitions that you're not permitted to be mafresh
Truma
Kamasi?
I'm going to eat it. It's the same Shabbos. He's designated. I'm going
to have to eat it each week. Kid, if he designates to eat it on Shabbos, then he better hurry up and be mafresh Truma Kamasi on Erev Shabbos, or it'll be also to eat it on Shabbos.
Many times you can look at one corner, say that corner, the other end.
On the weekdays you're allowed to do that. On the weekdays. Yeah, Noisanena Bitzadza Bechel Bitzarech is only mutter on the weekdays, because Afrasha's Truma doesn't require to pick it up. I can say Hareza Truma, this I have 100 bushels, and the Gemara says normal is that he gives 2%. So he designates these 2 bushels, bushel number 1 and bushel number 2, should be Truma on all the other 98 bushels. So he designates them, and he doesn't have to say bushel number 1, bushel number 2. It's even they tell us the machshava. The pasuk says, "V'nechshav lachem chumasta." Truma can be chava machshava. So that halacha that you are able and you're permitted to be mafresh truma, the peh, the hakvah, the machshava, that's only on the weekdays. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mafresh even the machshava. Taisus fekta kasha, why not? Whoever heard of a malacha be machshava? So Taisus in Gittin daf lama. Taisus says no, that it's awesome. They show the Gemara that it's awesome. The Gemara in the end of Shabbos has a case that because you do it be machshava, so it's mutter on Shabbos. So Taisus said that's only a rare case. But real tefil, that's more talking about meduma. Meduma, not the mind. Meduma means there was truma and it fell back in. And it's bottled the mayo. Yad mayo. But when the truma is bottled the mayo, tzorach laharit. It's supposed to be mafresh before you eat it. So that's rare case. So there, you have to understand why manishtana. So Tesla gives a hezbollah. So in that rare case, the Gemara says, you're allowed to do it by machshav. You can't do it by my son, Shabbos, you're allowed to do it by machshav. But if you have real bona fide tevel, then you're not permitted to be mafresh on Shabbos by machshav. Then on Shabbos, not on Yom
Kippur. Even eat al sparrow to leave off something at the end? Is that
how
the sparrow comes in?
Yeah. No, that's a din, that's also a din. Chalas chutzalor. Shumas chutzalor. Chalas chutzalor. That we have. Eichel v'hoylech v'achakach mafresh. Right. No, it doesn't have. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of truma that's only been the Rabbonim. The Rambam Shita, the Shulchan Aruch Paslan Kam, all Truma Bizman is there, it's only the Rabbanim. Or let's say Truma Semaisis on all other fruits and vegetables other than Dog and Tirish Vietz, we Paskin is all the Rabbanim. You don't say that on any Tevel the Rabbanim, you can eat all you want on Shabbos and then you can be Mafresh on Mitzoy Shabbos. Special Kula only on Chalaf Kutzlor. Where was that? That was in the top of Daf Pesam and Aleph. Chalaf, right before the Mishnah. Chalaf, Marm Chorus. Chalas chutzlords or chumas chutzlords. You have chumas chutzlords also a din. Chalas chutzlords or chumas chutzlords. The din is even on the weekdays, not only on Shabbos. You're permitted. Let's say you buy from a bakery where you know that everything is strictly kosher, but they're not so makbid on the hafrashas chalas. There are many kosher bakeries where they're not medakbik on the hafrashas chalas. So you should be mafresh chalas when you bring it home. So what if you forgot to be mafresh chalas? You have a whole box full of cookies. So the din is you can eat all the cookies, just leave over one cookie at the end. And after Havdalah, break off half of the cookie and be Kurishem, this should be challah, and the rest should be mutter.
But challahs.
But in Eretz Yisrael, challahs in Eretz Yisrael is only midi rabbanon, so that kula doesn't apply. These kulas only apply challahs chutzlots, which is a lower level the rabbanon. But if you have other cases of challahs Eretz Yisrael, which is only midi rabbanon, or shumas and maises in Eretz Yisrael, bisman is all midi rabbanon, or anything other than Dong Tirish Vietza, these coolers do not apply. In Eretz Yisrael, you have a lot of, I remember years ago when I visited, a lot of yeshiva bachim, so they don't trust the Rabbanut Tashgacha, Cholila, the Mizrachi, they should be lying the Rabbanut. So they're always mafish, chumas, and maises on everything. So they buy a bottle of soda, and then the soda has flavoring. The water is water. Water doesn't need afrosh, but flavoring needs afrosh, chumas, and maises. So they'll drink the whole bottle of soda, then at the end they'll leave over a little bit, then they'll be Kurishem at the end. That doesn't help. You can't, after you drink the bottle of soda, you already ate the tevil, if you're really convinced that it's tevil. After you drank the tevil, it's too late to be mafresh later.
In Eretz Yisrael.
In Eretz Yisrael, yeah.
Right, but we just said before you can do it that way.
That's special, only chalas chutzlar, it's a chumas chutzlar, special kulit, but it doesn't apply to all cases of chumas and maises derabbanan. In Eretz Yisrael, even you have many cases of chumas and maizah, it's only the Rabbanan, that kula doesn't apply. There are different levels of the Rabbanan. So this kula only applies to chalas chutzlar.
Why would they give chalas and maizah an artificial flavor? That's an extra.
Artificial not. No, it has sugar. Sugar is a lot of the sugar is not artificial. The sugar or the corn syrup, whatever it is, grew in Eretz Yisrael. Some Achrayim explain that the reason why it works, that din on Daf Tesam and Aleph, the Chalas Chutzlars, you can eat everything and leave over a little bit, and then afterward you can eat mafresh. There's some want to say because Yesh Breri b'Derabbanan. They say that kula is based on Yesh Breri b'Negeit to din b'Derabbanan. We are makel that Yesh Breri. But on a real dinder rice, or even on a mochamad dinder rabbanon, you wouldn't say it either. Only chalas chutzlars is a lower level the rabbanon. That's how some achrayim explain the basis of that din. Eichel help akach mafresh is based on yesh breri in the rabbanon. So again, what does it say here? It says tinan hasim. There's a mishnah that says tinoikis, even children before bar mitzvah shetam dutein and the erev Shabbos, they set aside the fruits the adaita to eat them on Shabbos. Instead of the side of Daita Tina Shabbos, said they better be Mafish Shumas and Mises. Even though they didn't even do the Niruach yet, they better be Mafish Shumas and Mises. Then the Shachachu Velo Yisru. that they got to be ma- it's their own. It's their own. Otherwise they can't be mafish, otherwise they can't designate Ganesh and Ganesh. It's all their own stuff. They have their own spending money, they have their own allowance, and they buy fruit, and they plan to eat it on Shabbos. It's their responsibility to be mafish Shumas Mais. They forgot. So Lamatzoi Shabbos, and when they want to eat it after Shabbos, we say Shabbos Kavas. Even if you eat it after Shabbos, it's called an Achilas Kev, Loyochlolem Ken Israel. You have to be mafresh in advance. Usnan Nami, however, we have another Mishnah that tells us, right, also on Mises, all the Mises. Amavitein in Bechatzero, this is a tricky din. Amavitein in Bechatzero, you have the father, the mother, and the children, a whole family. So the father is the farmer, he's in charge of everything. Are they shutfim in the food? When a man has a farm and he grows fruits and vegetables, so his wife and his children are all shutfim?
No.
Why they should? Everything belongs to the husband. He's the balabas. So the husband decided he's taking te'enim, or figs. Some people eat figs the way they are, and some people like to dry them out, and they only want to eat it when after it's dried out. On the roof. So the farmer decided he doesn't want to eat it the way it is, he's going to dry it out. So it's not considered gma malachta yet. You're not chayv in shumas and maisis until the fruits are fully, are ripened, avoh ashlish, and until you remove all the psolas, and if you plan not to eat it until it's dried out, until you actually dry it out.
It's roiti.
It's roiti, yeah, but still it's not considered gma malachta, it's considered part of the need for meruach. So if the balabas, the farmer, made up his mind, he doesn't want to eat it until hamavateinim bechatzer, he takes the teinim through his chatzer, laktos, adaita, to make kitzios. Kitzios means these igule, kitzios. The circle or the semicircle.
The rings are the dried out,
yeah. The rings are the dried out figs. So he plans, and he took it in the chatzer. So chatzer is kaveya. But chatzer is only kaveya if you first had gemar malachtoi, and then it went into the chatzer. Let's say you'll take it into the chatzer before miruach. So that's not the riyas panei chatzer. Rias Pnei Abayis is Minatar, Rias Pnei Achotzer, many holds is only Medir Rabban. So it says if the Balabas took the stuff into the Chotzer, the Mepharshim on this line, this Mishnah, have two interpretations. Either Hamava had his Rashi translate. Hamava Teinim, Shoteh Teinim, Bichatzero. The Rashi translates not that he's passing through the Chotzer. Not that he's taking the tanim through the chotzer adaita to take them to a different location, to the roof. No, he's spreading it out in the chotzer. That's how Rashi translates. Hamavet tanim bichatzera means hamoytzi tanim lichatzero. The Bartanura and the Mishnah does not learn like that. The Bartanura learns he's going through the chotzer to the roof. He's going to a different chotzer to put it there. There's a big discussion over here. The Mishnah, the background of the Mishnah is that in order to be chayv in Shumas Maaseh, you have to first have Meruach and then Gemar Malachtoi. Means it should be in a state that people plan to eat it. Let's say the fruits grew Shlish. There was Havoah Shlish on, let's say you have apples. They grew more than Shlish. That's Chanotah, more than Chanotah. But they're green. You're going to eat the apples. You get a bellyache. So if you do the miruach and you do the riyas pnei abayis, that's not chayv in shumas amaisis. You have to have gemar malachta. You have to have havua shlish or chanota should be sufficiently right that it should be called three, not eight. And then part of the din of miruach that you remove the psolus means that it's ochel has to be edible. Edible haste should be. Sometimes the bananas are green.
Should be ripe enough. But there are two ripenings. Let's say fruit. There's tree ripened and later, ripened in the big containers in the big houses.
Okay.
The fruit.
Okay. Yeah. So this doesn't have to be
and
on the tree.
Wasn't ripened, then that is not
right. So that's part of the din of miruach. That you have to have first miruach, then riyas pnei abayis. So miruach means you took off the psolas and you put it in a pile neatly. And it's called oichel, but it's not called oichel unless it's also edible. It should be ripe. Sometimes you have to wait a while, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, after you detach it from the tree. And after you do that, then you have to have the riyas pnei abayis. So what happens if you have, let's say, we did a miruach, But I plan to eat it after it's going to get dried off. So it's considered as if it's not yet Gemar Malachta. That's another term. It's not yet Gemar Malachta. The husband plans to do like, his wife and the children like the figs the way they are. His wife and the children like it the way they are. So the shaila is, well, who is the balabas over here? The balabas's intention is kaveya. So the Mishnah says, the farmer is the balabas. He gives to the wife and he gives, mechuyav to give to the wife and to the children. But the husband is the balabas, the farmer, so he decided he wants to, he doesn't want to eat it until it's going to be dried out. So that's his das. It's considered as if there was no gemar malachta yet. So it says that they're still permitted to eat, even though it's taken through the chatzir, and the chatzir is, should be koveya. The chatzir should have been koveya, but the chatzir is not koveya because there wasn't yet a gemar malachta. That's what the gist of the Mishnah is. Huh? The chatzir is not koveya because there wasn't yet a gemar malachta, because the husband is the balabas. His intention is only to eat it laktzois.
So he is also allowed to eat aruyi.
The Pashup Shad, he's allowed to eat aroi also.
Sorry, what about themselves?
So the Pashup Shad is lav davke. Taisus quotes, it's a machlekes in Yerushalmi. The little Taisus, banov et nebesoi. So Taisus says, Pirsha be Yerushalmi. There's one opinion in Yerushalmi. It's a machlekes amaroim and Yerushalmi and Maisus. And that Mishnah, is it only banov et nebesoi permitted to eat aroi, or even the balabas himself? So the one opinion that Taisus quotes, lechumre, is that the balabas himself, not only the tachumre akzeira midirabonon. Sanu chashash midirabonon. The Pashtus, the reason, the thing that prompted that Amora, Machleg is Rabin Ula, the thing that prompted the Amora to say that is because the Lashon on Mishnah. What does it say? Bonav of name Beis Oichlam Amaroi Zog. Oichlam Amaroi. But yeah, everyone is Oichlam Amaroi. What's that? It sounds like the farmer himself is not permitted to eat Amaroi. So the Yishalmi gives some kind of a reason. The other opinion Yishalmi says is Lab Davke. So why, if it's Lab Davke, what does it throw you off for? So the Yishalmi explains why. Wait a minute. This determination, this decision, whether it is a gemar malachta or not, there's nothing wrong with eating the figs the way they are. They're very tasty. The balabas is the owner. He decided it, he doesn't want to eat it until it's going to be dried out. So that's his decision. So the shaila, what if we're shutfim, we have a farm on the shutfis, and I plan to eat it only dried out. Do you like to eat the figs the way they are now? So just because I hold that I only like to eat it dried out, and we took it into the chutz and said, according to your opinion, you're also shutis. Your opinion is that it's good the way it is. There already was the gemar malachta. He took it into the chutz. That's the riyas panei chutz. So the chutz is kavad. So there would have been an isa tevel. So the Mishnah says that we ignore the wife and the children and we don't consider them a shutim. Why not? So the Yishalmi says, because there is a machlekes hatanaim in Ksubis, whether the obligation of the husband to feed his wife, is that biblical or is that only midirabbanan? It says in Chumash, share Ksusiv and also lo yigra. Most of the Tanoim say tiknu. Most of the Tanoim say that it's only a takana midirabbanan. Keneged everything. That keneged everything is Eliyum Azeh. Yeah. So most of the Tanoim are of the opinion that the obligations are strengthened. What does marriage mean? He doesn't have to support his wife. And he doesn't have to buy her clothing, minatari, he doesn't have to give a shelter. Just love. So what do you mean? So oinasa means a marital relation. So what is sherek susa? What? Mezainis. We're talking mezainis. So Avani has been the Rabbani has an achrayis to support his wife, right? So most of the Tanoim, most of the Rishonim hold that the achrayis is the responsibility to support the wife, to give food and clothing and shelter, is only midirabbanan. So what's the obligation? What's the biblical obligation? Love. That's all. Just love. So that's what it means. Oinasa. Oinasa means tashmish amitu. So what's shared? The marriage. As far as the marriage is concerned, everybody should support them. Everybody should support the wife. But the husband is not. That's not part of his.
Simcha means that you have to buy
clothing.
What do you do with the pasuk? So the Ramban and Chumash say, what did they do with the pasuk? So oinasa, we know oinasa. What is shera ksusa? So he says shera means kirav basa. Shera means kirav basa. That if he's such a mafunatik guy, he doesn't want to sleep in the same bed with his wife, or he insists on wearing full pajamas, and she wants to have the husband near her. So that shera is mukhiyah to give shera basa, kirav basa. And ksusa means the wife wants to have a frilly nightgown or something fancy when she's going to be with her husband. And he doesn't want to waste money on that. He says, yeah, wear a pair of pajamas. Yeah, whatever, a bathroom. So he's mukhiv bin atar. These are all aspects of oina. Only love, that's bin atar. Oina is tashmish, and share means kirabasar. Also, shaykh is bin tashmish. And ksusa means the ksus b'shas tashmish. Everything has to do. But the chiyuv to give mezainis and the chiyuv to give clothing, azoy, all week long, it's only mid the rabbanon. And the Rambam paskens like the minority opinion in the Gemara that the pasuk means what it says. The sherev means food, and ksusa means clothing, and it's understood if he's mechuyev food and clothing, mechuyev to give a shelter also. And einasa means marital relations. So the Rishalmi introduces this machlokes satanai. We have it in ksubis, and daf mem zayin in ksubis, machlokes satanai. So,
what about
Bonham? Bonham is only mid the Rabbanon. The Chiv, right. So the Rishalmi introduces it over here in this Mishnah. What do you mean? The husband decided, laktos, the husband decided he wants to only eat dried out figs. But the wife is also shutif. The wife is also shutif? No, the husband is mukhif to give mezainis to the wife. So the Rishalmi says, if the din would have been minat Torah that the husband is interesting Rishalmi. The Rishalmi all quoted. And then before Shimon the Mishnah is quoted on this Mishnah and Mises. If the din would have been minat Torah that the husband is mechuyev to give mezainis to the wife, we would have considered the wife as if she's a shutefes, and the husband is not the sole balabas to determine that it's a dain la nigma malachta. But the Mishnah is working on the assumption that just like mezainis of the children is only with the rabbanah, mezainis of the wife is also only with the rabbanah. So really, minat Torah, everything is the husband. The husband made up his mind he only likes to eat figs dried out. So it's not, it didn't have the Gemar Malachta yet. So even though he took it in the Chatzar is not Kaveya, because the Chatzar is only Kaveya if there was first Gemar Malachta, Miruch with Gemar Malachta, and then Chatzar. So this Yerushalmi, 1 minute, let me just finish. So this Yerushalmi is interpreting the Mishnah. Amavetena Machatzar, even though he took it in the Chatzar, it's not Kaveya because it was Lakta, because the only, it didn't yet have the Gemar Malachta. So here there's a Machlekes HaRishonim. What did he do? He took it in, Rashi translates, Machlekes how to translate. He took it into the chutz and he spread it out in the chutz that it should dry out. In other words, he put it in the chutz to leave it in the chutz. So that would have been chutz kovat, but it's not kovat because it didn't have the gemar malachta, it didn't dry out yet. And the but what if, let's say I have something had miruach and gemar malachta, and then I take it, it's passing through the chutz. He has a truck, he's carrying a bushel, through the chatzer to the other side, somewhere else, out of the chatzer. So from Rashi, one could get the impression that that's not chatzer kvas. Chatzer kvas means I put it in the chatzer, I'll dipe it to leave it there, till it landed in the chatzer. But the Batanur learned Vaseirish not so. Hamavir, Batanur translates, Hamavir is just passing through the chatzer. And it would have also been passing through the chatzer, would have also been chatzer kvas, if not for the fact that it didn't have the Gmar Malachtoi. In advance, the only time Chatzah is Kavaz is the first had a Gemar Malachta. Yeah, sure. So that's what the Mepharshim on the Mishnah is pointed at. On the Mishnah is
pointed at. He has to pass it through the house to get to someplace else.
Same Shiloh.
Same thing.
Same Shiloh. Chatzah Kavaz and Bias is Kavaz. Yes,
he has to pass through the house. The fact that he wants to have a different status of completion. The fact that they've passed through the house.
So that looks like a Machlekes. That's what the Mishnah Rishayna writes on Mishnah. It's in the Mepharshim there. It looks like a Machlekes Rashi in the Bar Tanur. Is that called Bias Kavaz? Rias Penea Bias. Is that called Chatzah Kavaz? It's only passing through, but it didn't. He didn't really put it in the bais of the chutz that it should land there.
Forget about the fact that what if he put it down pants of the phone? It would make a difference. The fact that it's
only temporary.
Temporary.
Right. So that's what the Gemara quotes this Mishnah just to explain what's going on. This Mishnah in Maaseh says that the only time chutz is kaveya, the only time bais is rias ben bais chutz is kaveya. At first there was miruach with the gemar malachta fully ripe, it's edible, and then you have the chatzah is kaveya. So now the Gemara says, but what about the first mishnah about Shabbos is kaveya? So Shabbos kaveya only if there was already gemar malachta, and then Shabbos comes. What if he didn't even have gemar malachta? So the Gemara gave two answers. One Amara says, yeah, we all know that din does make a difference. And then Rabbi Yechon says it's not true. So then the Rashban and Mishlam Malach say, how can they contradict each other? Everybody says on alpha din. So he says there are two kinds of Shabbos Kavaz. Whatever you eat on Shabbos, Shabbos Kavaz, even if there was no Gemar Malachta at all before, but that you designated a day to eat it on Shabbos, then so if you don't eat it, then you're going to eat it b'mos achol. So that's also called Shabbos Kavaz. So that's only if there was already Gemar Malachta in advance. That's the gist of the whole Gemara here. That's not the gist. That's what it says. That's not the gist. That's what it says in all
the words. It says, come from the Shutzen. How do you deal with the Shutzen when you have two Shutzen? You say, one wants to eat raw, Mamur is watching. Here, come here. It could very well be that they are not Shutzen on the farm, they are Shutzen on the books. They're the chief executive officer here to decide what to do, and not only one, and not everybody can decide.
I would have said. That's what I would have thought, like you. The husband, Sof Kol Sof, he's running the business. What do I care? The wife is a shutter. The husband's running
she's
the business.
He's a shutter to everything. He can give a chip, he doesn't think he's training.
I was very surprised. The Yishalmi says like that. The Mishnah only goes with the Shita that the Mizonis is mid the Rabbanah. Mizonis would have been Minatera.
Also food is
she's like a shutter. And the hot echad adeya, the wife has echad adeya. I don't know. This part of the year we learn Pirkei Avos. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is not this week's Pirkei. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos mentions the memches dvarm hatorah niknis. In order to really be matzliach and learning, you have to have 48 things. So one of the things is you have to learn and you have to pay attention, you have to concentrate, and then so on and so forth. So it says in the Mishnah that if a person is going to eat and drink and go to the theater all the time, he's going to go to the movies, he's not going to be kind of the Torah. You have to learn Bahasma de Meruba in order to be kind. So the Mishnah has among the various things the Miut Derech Eretz. Miut Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz usually means when the husband spends time with his wife, that's called Derech Eretz. So you have to have Miut Derech Eretz. He's going to be with his wife all the time and eating and drinking all the time, so he won't be able to be Matzliach and learning. So, I think about 10 years ago, someone put out a good biography of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. There was always a little skinny biography, didn't have too much there. Even that biography also, when it came out during the lifetime of the Netziv, so the Netziv wasn't even interested in reading it. It says, Bittul Teretz from the Yetzer Hara, that he's trying to get Talmid Chacham to read biographies of Tzaddikim. We don't need that. What do I care about Rabbi Akiva Eiger with his tall, short, fat, or skinny? I learned this far from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It doesn't matter the stories. Anyway, but there used to be, traditionally, there's an old biography from Rabbi Akiva Eiger, very thin, and now someone put out two big fat volumes of all the stories. So one of the stories they have is the following. That on one occasion, Rabbi Akiva Eiger lived in Germany. That was the beginning of the Reform movement. Yeah. So he once met one of the Chassidish Rebbes. I don't remember the history. I think they said it was the Sfasemis. I don't even know if the dates are Shaya. I think they said it was the Gerer Rebbe. I'm not sure. So on one occasion he met this Chassidish Rebbe, and he said he doesn't understand how come by them in Poland they're matzliach to maintain Trumkeit, that they're all observant, and by us so many people are falling out to the Reform. What's your secret to success? So the Chassidish Rebbe, I think it was the Ger Rebbe, told him, we follow the Mishnah, Miut Derech Eretz. In Germany they have such respect for everybody. So they have respect for the Goyim, and they have respect for the Reform, and they have respect for the Conservative, they have respect. So if you show respect, so you're giving mixed signals to your children. We don't have any derech eretz. A person is an apikoros. We throw him out and we treat him as a shaker. It's a shame we don't have any respect. So that's not usually the way we bizah. We try to have respect for everybody. Yeah, but we have respect. But just because you show respect, the Gemara says you have to greet afilo Rabbi Gamliel the Nasi would greet every nochri that he met in the street. He would greet him first. When I walk down the street also, I say good morning to all the Puerto Ricans, good morning to everybody. And they say, good morning, Father. Galop. They consider me a galop. So I know I'm a rabbi, so others call me a father. Yeah, so we have a lot of respect. They ask me for a blessing. I should give my blessing in the morning when I go back from yeshiva. They always ask me for a blessing. You have to show respect. But respect doesn't mean that you respect their shita. You respect them, he has a tzelem, he has a potential, but you're not supposed to respect their shita. We have to explain to our children, to our chassidim, to our balabatim, that we don't respect their shita. There's a difference between being open-minded to hear chachma bagoyim tamen, but Torah bagoyim al tamen. Chachma means they have what to offer. Computers and sciences and everything, mathematics is gewaldic, but Torah means how to lead your life. The Hanhagas Achayim kumt es nicht. What the goyim have to offer has nothing. They have nothing to offer as far as we're concerned. And even the Chachma Bagoyim, the Vilna Goyim, was very insistent. All the Talmidei Agroa, they all say the same thing. No machlokes. They say the Vilna Goyim would read up and as much Chachma as he possibly could, and encourage the Talmidim they should translate Euclid and all the books of science, everything. They should translate it into Hebrew so that the Yidden will be able to study all the Chachma Sateva from kosher sources. He didn't want that they should read it from Goyish sources. He didn't want that they should know Latin and French and other languages. They should read it in the books that were written by the Goyim. He wanted Fruma Yidin to translate all the books, that the Fruma Yidin should be able to read it from kosher sources. Just because the Vilna Goyen and the Talmid Agra had this sheet that he said that's going to hasten the coming of Mashiach. And we're all going to, that's what the Talmid Agra called. When we're going to know all the Chachmas HaTeva, then we'll understand more the Torah to the degree that you're lacking knowledge and secular knowledge, there'll be 100 times more that you'll be missing in Torah. That's what he quote. There's going to be Pimeya. 100 times more you'll be missing in learning if you don't have secular knowledge. Yeah? But he wanted that the secular knowledge should come from kosher sources, not from goyish sources. He didn't want that the Yidden should have respect for the goy. You say good morning, you showed the acheret, but the showed the acheret, it still doesn't mean that it's Torah bagayim. It's chochma bagayim tamen. Yeah, there's a lot of chochma. We have to be careful when we transmit it to our children. That's what the Chassidish Rebbe said, that the reason why they were more successful is because they had miut derech eretz. That's not the posh pshat in the mission. We said, we don't show so much derech eretz. We're mamayit in the derech eretz for the umas oimah. So our children realize that they have to follow Torah, not chachma.
That's not the same thing I heard yesterday.
Not exactly.